Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's in fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ran, the ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
What is up, my pizzas? Corey Vincent here, video game bang. You already know what time it is. It's time for that bang time. Time to put those headphones in, kick your chair back, spin it around a few times, and get taken to Bangtown. He's the president of Bangtown, David Webb. What is up, man?
I accept that title.
Too bad you were elected.
Reluctantly. That's how you know I'm going to be a good ruler.
You're the designated survivor.
I'm the Jon Snow of Bangtown. I don't want to be the ruler.
Nope.
But you're the best one.
Upon me.
Yeah.
What's up? It's good to be back.
How you been? You went on a work retreat?
I went on work,
you look
dude,
like all relieved and relaxed. You got some sun?
I've been more active in the past week than I have been in the past, like, 3 months.
How does that happen?
I went kayaking.
You?
Yeah. I went kayaking. First of all, I've been kayaking before. Second of all, I went paddleboarding.
Okay.
That was tricky as hell.
Yeah.
I did this ropes course that was more, I thought it was like ziplining, but it was more.
It's like the climbing.
It's more 90% American Ninja Warrior, 10% ziplining.
Yeah. But is it like American Ninja Warrior kids so that the rest of us can do it?
The green ones, the green courses. It's like a ski level. So you got green, you got blue, and then you got black level. I didn't do the black diamond.
You weren't kidding on the last episode. You said you've just been living. You've been getting
been
outside.
Living.
You've been leaving those. So the graphics pretty good.
Yeah, graphics are good. All went right. to a Giants game.
I saw that.
Yeah,
too.
Giants beat the Phillies. It was good. The last inning and a half was amazing. On your feet the whole time.
Really?
Yeah.
Can't relate.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about in sports
at
ball.
All.
I have a question when she gets introduced.
She is the vice president of Bangtown.
No, I'm not.
Emma Skye, it's too late. You've already been elected.
I hate this and everything that's
you
happening.
You must serve your term.
So when I was gone, I tried to take a break off of social media as much as I could.
It's important to do.
It's important to do. However, I did check Twitter once to see Emma, I'm going to say attempting, to climb a rock wall.
Oh, yeah, I
laughed my ass off. Not at her climbing.
Okay, I was upside down, okay?
But she's upside down, and I could see her, like, she's like, oh, I got this. And all of a sudden, boom, she drops out of frame. I kept rewinding it and just keep playing it over and over, and just a poof out of frame.
How is this not gift and all over the
Oh, my
internet?
God, that's true. That's our new sub emote.
Yeah. I have meme ideas. We went rock climbing, but I haven't been in, like, I haven't been in years. I used to go all the time, and I haven't been in years, so my hands can't take it anymore. And I was just going for that last one, and I just threw into it, and I couldn't know.
I mean, you were only like 2 feet off the ground.
We were bouldering at that point. We weren't rock climbing.
Yeah, because you were like at an angle down, and you were doing the whole like swing myself, do a little spider monkey grab to the other like rung and stuff. It was pretty impressive until you fell.
It's not impressive. Like anybody can do it. I swear to God. I swear to God you can do it.
All right.
I haven't been in like 10 years.
Podcast retreat.
Yeah,
I have
podcast
no
retreat.
No upper body strength at all.
And now we have some special guests. Joining us on the show this week, kicking off what we're going to be doing the next couple of weeks is helping promote an event by the Sacramento. So they're the SDC, the Sacramento Development Community?
Developer Collective.
Collective.
Pretty they're close. Collective.
I was close, man.
You were.
You had one word right.
I don't get prepped on these shows. I just show up drunk most of the time.
At least you didn't call us commune.
That would have been something different.
Sacramento developer commune.
Aaron, come live us on our farm.
Aaron and Kyle, you guys, thanks for joining us here. Why don't you guys take your turns and tell everybody who you are and what you do.
All right, well, I am Aaron Thormalin. Thanks for having us, by the way.
Oh, of course.
I am the events chairman of SDC. We are planning the event called Capital Creative Showcase coming up September 7th.
That's right here in Sacramento?
Yes.
West Sacramento.
West Sacramento Community Center.
In West Sacramento. Born and raised.
Let's not. Let's not.
You can't say West Sacramento and not think that.
Yeah,
that's true. So how do you get into that spot? What do you do? Because you also are a developer yourself.
I am. I started a company here in Sacramento called Paralore Studios. We are currently working on a game called The Lonely Zombie.
Potential already.
Yeah. You play as Reggie, the lonely zombie, and you're trying to save the zombie race from extinction. So it's kind of a twist on it.
Okay.
That's fucking incredible.
I like that.
Yeah.
Coming at it from the zombie perspective, they're just trying to live. They're trying to live their best life. And we keep shooting them in the head.
Yeah, it's pretty not fair.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Don't even give them a chance.
No.
It's kind of racist if you think about it.
What about you, Kyle? What do you do?
I am the fundraising chair, so I got all of our fantastic sponsors in and stuff like that, as well as I am the team lead. We're not like an official studio. We're like a team lead. We're called the Mythic Minds, and we're making a game called Evocus, which is this kind of tactic strategy game, like Hearthstone meets like Wizard's Chess with... I guess, like, since Teamfight Tactics and Auto Chess are kind of in this...
They're in the meta.
Yeah, it's kind of along those lines, but it's much more kind of old school, I guess.
I played that one at the... we ran into each other at the at Jay Gist's esports arena at the California State Fair, and I got to sit down and play that game. And what I appreciated about it was you just being nice and not just completely destroying me. Because it's like anytime you sit down and play with a developer, you're like, all right, have mercy, dude. Like, I want to have fun at least.
Yeah.
But it was easy to pick up. Like, by the end, I felt like I was holding my own a little bit.
Yeah, that's the goal of it. We wanted to make it. Because those games, you can get just so deep in, like, complexity. And you'll get 90,000 characters, and they each have 7 different abilities. We're just like, let's try to make it accessible and simple, and but still fun and engaging stuff. So that was kind of our idea with that.
Cool, and then talk to us about the big event, because you know we've seen some other indie events in Sacramento before. How does this one differentiate itself, or what can we expect to see if you go check it out?
So this one is going to be focusing on heavy indie game developers here in Sacramento, and, along with the local artists here in Sacramento. So we wanted to really focus Sacramento heavy on this event. There's going to be some VR adventures that you can partake in. There's going to be some vendors there. Who else are we having?
We got like a bunch of talks from bunch of incredible people all over esports, game development. Our theme this year is women in games, and so we're focusing on showcasing the women in our community who got in the industry and are helping us out with stuff, as well as doing like how do you get in and things like that. So we've got an esports panel, a business panel, individual talks by a bunch of different people all across the scene. So it's pretty cool.
What makes these ones kind of cool is the networking potential.
Yeah.
Like these are ideal for anybody who's like, even for streamers, like these developers are always looking for people to stream their games. You know, you could just branch out, make connections with the community. Extra Life is always there too. It's always been a really... Is there any competitive aspect to it this year? Is it like one of those ones where people kind of go and vote and there's awards?
No. I feel like that's kind of an interesting idea. We want it to be more, community focused. I feel like when it gets competitive, it has a tendency to like not... I mean, like, because every developer, we're all pretty good friends. Like, all of us, we're all showcasing our games there. We all go to all the same events together. And so... we kind of wanted to focus more on just showcasing what people are doing with... When you have, like, awards as well, it's kind of difficult because you've got some people who are, like, just making a game in their free time. They work, like, a 9-to-5, but then they're doing stuff, you know, game dev on their own. And then you've got, like, game dev studios in town who are full-timing it, and so it's kind of rough to, like... Obviously, they're going to get most awards because their stuff is going to look more polished and stuff like that, so...
What would you say the state of like the Sacramento indie scene is right now? Are there more teams than ever, or like if you were to look at like maybe 5 years ago, like what are we looking at today?
I mean, we had kind of thought they were dying off for a while there, since you know Sac Indie Arcade hasn't been around for 2 years now. But as soon as we launched this event, they started coming out of the woodwork. There's way more than we had ever thought was in Sacramento. Like, there's a lot of games being developed we didn't even know about.
That's incredible. And are they like just like kids in their bedroom with their buddies making stuff happen, or these college students? Like, who's making these games?
Some of them are. There's some that are teams. Some are just solo developers. There are some. We got one in our group that's going to be showing there. I think he's... How old's Beto?
16, 17. Jeez. So we have some young kids. We also have a dad and his two sons who I've talked to before, and I think they're both 13, 14, or 15.
Yeah, and they've put out some
games. Are incredible. Like, I mean, they've been coding since they were like 6 or 7, yeah. And they like already made like 6 games, and they're just absolutely killing it. And so
what you're telling us, we need to wait another decade before the real good shit starts coming out.
I mean, their games are already pretty good. They're already on the market too. Like, they're already making money on this stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Whoa. What kind of games? Like, would we?
They vary.
Call of Duty.
If they made it, just the two of them, like developing
13-year-old devs.
They put two whole studios out of business.
Yeah.
No, so that's pretty cool. Emma, have you ever thought about making your own video game?
Absolutely not. No, I am not smart enough for that. I know exactly where my skill level lies, and it is not in programming.
But do you have an idea, like, if I could make a game, I would love to have Mortal Kombat mixed with Dance Dance Revolution, or like, I would love to have, like,
I don't even think so. I wouldn't even know off the top of my head, because I like my games are the stories, the narratives, the big expansive storytelling
things.
Ones where
you cry at the end?
Yes.
Except for that
cry the whole way through.
What's that one game that you like, the fighting game?
Dead or Alive. I love Dead or Alive.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, it has to be one or the other. It has to be really good
for the plot?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I do. Gotcha. Except for 6.
That's Mortal Kombat mixed with Hooters.
Yeah.
How
Dead or Alive.
Fucking dare you.
Sorry, Twin Peaks. Is that better?
Hustlers. Dare you.
No, we
think you can get away with that shit at Hooters?
One of the things I've been wanting to talk about on the show for a minute is just kind of the stagnation of video games in general. And I don't know if it's because I'm old or if it's because it's just not impressive.
Are they stagnating or are you just not noticing the ones
I don't know. Like, would you consider Fortnite revolution? Like, let's look at revolutionary video games. What do you think is a revolutionary video game?
But you're talking about the biggest games. Like, there are always revolutionary games that fly under the radar.
I mean...
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
I think the problem is, right, it's like with music or movies, right? You see all these, you know, every movie is kind of the same now, or all the music is all kind of the same now. They use the same 4 chords, they got the simple lyrics and all that kind of stuff. That's because that's like the all-encompassing, we want to cover as many people as possible. The cool thing about indie stuff is, like, we don't have money backing us to, like, if we fail, we're screwed, and so we have to take the safe route. Because we're just kind of doing this on our free time, we have the ability to just, like, I want to make, like, this really weird game that, like, 6 people are going to just absolutely love. And, like, we don't care.
I'm one of the 6 people.
We don't care. Like, we don't need, like, a loot box system. We don't need a competitive ladder. We don't need massive multiplayer. We just want, like, this interesting idea. Like, I want to explore what is it like. I've had this idea for a text-based adventure that's, like, completely with immersive sound. And, like, so as you walk, you know, you type in, like, okay, I'm going to walk into the log cabin. And you walk in and you hear the creaks and stuff. You hear the door opening. I want to do, like, that game isn't going to sell $1 million, but it's, like, just an interesting idea. And so...
But then you got games like Genital Jousting that sell.
Or Mount Your Friends.
Mount Your Friends.
Yeah. Shit. I fucking love that game.
Yeah, there's
a bit of dichotomy there, you know?
Goat Simulator, which ended up getting a billion different expansions. Oh,
gosh.
That game's kind of fun, though.
He's working on a new one. What game is he working on?
Cow Simulator?
No.
No, it's not a simulator.
There's a hole in the ozone layer above you that just gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
You need to figure that out. I think that, like, what he's working on next is, like, really good.
It's like some really deep RPG with, like, heavy skill trees and story.
I hope so.
You just see the goat as an easy.
Is like with like it feels if you're on the outside or if you're only paying attention to certain games or like the biggest ones, it can feel like everything's the same. It's like for movies. Like when you look at movies, you're like everything that comes out now is a remake. Everything that comes out now is a reboot or a sequel, and there's nothing new. And there are. It's just the ones that have all the money and the marketing and all that. Yeah. But there's always games that fly under the radar that are just changing the game.
I guess what I'm thinking of is like, I want to throw one out as revolutionary. Grand Theft Auto 3.
Okay.
I feel like when that one came out, it introduced us to the concept of the sandbox.
Yeah.
You know, and then that was revolutionary. And then all of a sudden, now you're Spider-Man in the sandbox. And now you're, you know, Hulk, and they... pimped it out to a whole bunch of different things, and they created this new genre.
I don't think I ever actually played missions in Grand Theft Auto 3. I just ran around, see how quickly I can get my stars ranked up, and then how quickly can I hide from the cops.
That's the toy box factor. Yeah. And actually, we might even be able to say Mario 64 came up with, or, you know, who knows, you know, because that was another one I would call revolutionary. But there's these games that come through, they're like once in a lifetime, and they open everybody's eyes to a new way of thinking about video games. And I feel like we don't have that.
Well, we were just talking before the show about the Arkham games, the combat style in the Arkham games. Has just gone on to do so many other different things. It's exactly the same as Spider-Man now. Like, somebody realized that this combat system worked really, really well for superheroes, perfected it over four different games, and then it shot off to the next one. And I'm sure the Avengers game, when it comes out, is going to have very similar styles to it. Or the Nemesis system in the Shadow of Mordor games.
Yeah.
The Middle-earth games. Like, that is going to go on to be in parts of different things.
And I think with that, too, is like, when you look back at these big games, you kind of don't necessarily see the incremental changes, right? Like, you see Super Mario 64, and like, that was a great game, but there were games before that that kind of laid the groundwork. Like, we were talking about the whole, the rise of the auto battler or auto chess kind of subgenre, because it started out as auto chess, and then they kind of iterated, okay, well, we're going to make Dota Underlords, and then we're going to make Teamfight Tactics on top of that, and each game was better than the next, and so, like, now we have kind of one big game that's, like, evolved on this idea. Same with, like, Fortnite, which evolved from PUBG, which evolved from the original mods for, you know, Battle Royales before that. So it kind of evolves slower, I think. And so, like, whenever some indie comes out with some interesting idea, like, it's not fleshed out. It's not, like, the complete idea. And so then you get, like, a big studio that's like, okay, well, we can take that and plus one it, I guess.
We're going to add 1,000 players.
Exactly.
And then they get
and
shut
down.
And
then the game's going to get canceled.
I don't even remember what it was called.
It's too far ahead of its time.
Yeah, there's one that can support 400 players.
That's the one that just got canceled.
Oh, it did get canceled.
Yeah. What do you guys think as indie developers about, like, Fortnite, for example? Like, are you looking at, like, ways to like, take its success, and what are some things you think it's doing the best? Like, for my opinion, for me, I think their marketing is probably the thing that people could learn
from. Their marketing is good. I think it's a fad. It's slowly dying. I mean, Minecraft already took it over.
Again.
I can't wait for this fad to go
away. With Fortnite specifically, the coolest part is they're making, like, stupid amounts of money with it, and what is Epic doing? They're like, hey, we want to open this game launcher, and what we're going to do is pay devs a dumb amount of money to come be exclusive. And what does that mean? So, okay, a bunch of indie devs now have a ton of funding to put their game in. Like, I know some people are, like, kind of ticked off, like, I don't want to download the Epic launcher. But, like, but you understand that, like, these devs are now on there and being paid so much money to continue to do what they want to do. And that's, like, the coolest part, because, like, most of these people were making the games in their free time, and now Epic's like, here's money, we think you're a great game, throw it on our launcher and we'll give you money so you can make the next one.
That's what I'm excited about.
They're
putting that money back into the community, so to speak,
and the Unreal Engine, which half of us indie devs use, because they give that away for free as well. That's just, like, another great thing, and they can now have more money to push that forward, which is cool.
We've talked about it on the show. We were so blown away by how the backlash to it. But you guys, as indie developers, are you guys able to take advantage of these programs that Epic, or you guys still have to put them on Steam? How does that work for you guys?
No, we can take advantage of it. It's just a lot of paperwork, emails, and, like, you have to submit your game to them. They have to approve it, greenlit it. So, I mean, it's just a lot of work.
And it also depends on, like, the deal that you get as well. I know that, like, Epic is doing a lot of exclusive deals because they don't want the option of, like, okay, you can download it on Steam. Like, one of my favorite games just came out. It's not Factorio. What's the one? Satisfactory. And they just got that exclusive. And it's, like, a fantastic game. And so I think, depending, you can just throw a game on all, you know, itch.io, on Steam, on Epic Launcher, on all these different stores. But if Steam says, okay, we want to give you a lot of money so you can do exclusive, then it kind of changes in that way.
That's interesting. You guys brought up, the Fortnite is dying a little bit. And I kind of wanted to hit on one of these news stories just to kind of keep up to date with it. Because the more I'm thinking about it and able to process this, the more I'm just thinking Ninja is an actual genius. Like, we just reported a week before that, you know, the trends are going down on Fortnite specifically. and that other games are picking up. And when you look at, like, it's my job. So I go through on Twitch, and I just will see who's got the most viewers right now and what's that number look like on a Wednesday afternoon. And what you're noticing in Fortnite specifically is that the guys who are getting, like, ninja-level numbers are young. Like, these are kids, 12-year-olds, 15-year-olds, like Benji Fishy, Mr. Savage. Like, some of our guys are getting ninja numbers, Symphony. And then, so I think Ninja's seeing the decline. He's seeing these younger stars catching up with him. And he cashes in his chips at the exact right time to get this 10. I don't know what. I've heard people speculate it has to be like $10 million.
Yeah, nobody knows. We talked about this when we talked about this a few weeks ago. Like, there's a bunch of people throwing numbers out. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Literally
for
nobody
sure.
knows. Everybody's speculating, and there's a bunch of numbers going out. None of them are real.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's got
to
be.
You take whatever he makes in 2 years and then add money to that.
Yeah.
It is a metric ass load.
And plus whatever he got from hitting 1 million subs in less than a month.
Which doesn't mean anything.
Well, it's money in his pocket.
Literally nothing. No, I mean in the overall. Because
it gave everybody free. Yeah, yeah,
you can be. It's like the PewDiePie thing where when you got an account on YouTube, you were automatically subbed to PewDiePie. And suddenly it was like, oh, he's so amazing. Everybody gets all these subs. I'm like, no, he doesn't.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah, it's not fully legitimate. But still, he has it. And he gets the money out of it.
Yeah.
Regardless. But then what Twitch did in turn, I thought was extremely shady.
I didn't.
Everybody else thought it was
Everybody
true.
Got so mad
Except
about this.
Except Emma.
It's just fucking business and everybody's a baby.
Explain your side of it. How does this make sense from a business perspective?
Go ahead.
So basically what happened is Ninja left for Mixer. We all know that. We've covered it on the show. We did a full episode on it. But then what Twitch did, what they'd never done to anybody else, is they took his page, gutted it, and then ended up saying, like, hey, this streamer's in another castle. Here's our other big-name streamers. Why don't you watch them and give them money instead?
That's the difference. Because I know what your arguments could be. It's just business.
It would be
just business if they did that with everybody that left Twitch.
Ninja's but not everybody.
It doesn't matter.
Here's the thing. So Ninja is... I'm already sick of talking about this. I can't wait till I never have to say the word Ninja or Fortnite ever again.
What about Mixer?
I swear to God. but here's the thing. So Ninja left Twitch very, very publicly for their biggest competitor. Very publicly.
Yeah.
Twitch supposed to do with that? Like, they know that he has a page on their website that they own. He has zero rights to that URL. He doesn't own it. He doesn't own the domain. That is not his page. That is Twitch's page. And so what they did is they were like, hey, we're going to have hundreds of thousands of clicks on this page that are going to link to absolutely nothing. That's ad revenue. That is everything just down the drain. Or we could use it to just go back to the browse page, which is essentially what it did.
So all this was fine and dandy. Ninja was upset about it, I'm sure, but I think to a degree you have a point in the fact that if that was the end of the story, Ninja would have just kept his mouth shut and we would have moved on. But unfortunately, he got the moral high ground when everybody went to that page and some chucklehead was streaming straight up porn.
Yeah.
Like legitimate porn on there, and it somehow in their algorithm popped up as, if you like Ninja, you know, go to this thing.
Yeah.
People
that was the only problem with the whole situation was that it wasn't moderated well. Like, if you're going to do something like that, you need to moderate what's on that.
There's been a lot of cases like that where someone's been streaming
and it gets recommended.
And it takes longer than it should. Especially because it's not like 100 viewers. It's like thousands and thousands.
Yeah.
Like, is there not one person who's like on Twitch like scrolling through in their day job?
It takes longer for that to get taken care of than it does for somebody who threw a cat.
There's probably one guy who does have that job, but he's like, dude, there's like a billion channels on right now.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to catch that one?
So I think the unfortunate part of it was that them not moderating it allowed Ninja to get that moral high ground and to play himself up as the victim in this. Oh, Twitch is so mean to me. Oh, I'm the victim. You should come over to Mixer because it's a better community. Like, he used that as the marketing potential that it was. And, I mean, good for him for doing that. But don't act like a little baby. It was childish. It was extremely childish.
What do you think,
David?
I'm like,
it's fucking petty.
David's got a thought.
I saw the video of him talking about it. And not once did he say, oh, come over to Mixer.
No,
it's a better community.
It's the implication. It's the subliminal messaging.
It's not, you're reading into it because you're jaded. It's he just outright said the facts. They don't do this for anybody else. They did this to my channel. And they advertised porn on it. And I have a community of mainly families and kids.
The only thing that's bad is the porn. Everything else is fine. Like, he wants to act like it wasn't a big deal that he left Twitch. Like, he did it. Nobody, his situation has never happened before. Nobody of that magnitude has ever publicly left them for their biggest competitor. So, no, this has never happened before because there's no precedence for it. I'm already sick of talking about this. I hate this.
Dragon City in chat says, you guys are right. He says, wait, but Twitch loved Ninja. Why would they say that? Ninja give, and then Steven says, Ninja gives zero fucks about the kids.
He does, though, because that's like his audience.
That's his
like,
money.
He literally started censoring himself because he's like, well, I'm kind of, I've got a bunch of kids, and if, you know, their parents see me not swearing, like, okay, well, now there's continued viewership and no one's going to be pulled off my channel.
But according to Emma, he's just saying that so he can have a Nerf gun in the toy aisle of Target and make another couple $1 million. I mean, so is he doing it because he really cares about the kids?
Does he have a Nerf gun?
Yeah.
He has got a Ninja gun?
Fortnite? But the end result is the same.
Fortnite
whether
what?
No, it's like it's an off-brand. It's
whether
not
or
like
not Nerf. He cares legitimately deep in his soul about children is beside the point.
Right.
All that matters is the end result. The
There's no way to know.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether he hates children or loves them. I don't care, and I don't think anybody else does. Maybe he fucking hates kids. Like maybe he does, but it doesn't
matter.
That's
exactly why.
All that matters is the way he acts on it.
That's exactly why. If you guys are watching the stream, you guys can see it. We printed some VGB stickers and we printed the Emma Rage emote. That's why we have it right there.
I just fucking I don't
Twitch
care.
Clip that. I don't give a fuck if Ninja likes kids or not. Jeez.
That's the next video we're going to see from Ninja. Yeah. All right, guys. So there's this podcast called Video Game Bang or something. And there's some chick on it.
I just want them to treat me like they treat all the other streamers.
All the other streamers.
Yeah. Whatever. I think I felt like it was an easy, like, thing to do. Like, it was an easy thing to play up of, you know, this is going to get clicks. This is going to get whatever. But, I mean, he had to have seen it coming. Like, that couldn't have been a surprise. But, anyway, whatever. I hate this.
I think, I feel like Twitch, they had the right to do it, but that doesn't mean that it was the right thing to do.
Yeah,
that's,
I agree.
That's the key. They have every right to do it. Doesn't mean it was the right thing to do.
Yeah,
they're a company. They're not a person. That's the dilemma. They need to make money, and that's a way for them to make money.
I think
fucking capitalism. All right, we live in a capitalist society.
You know, I gotta say, at
I
least
hope you never in a power position
to not totally at least the whole situation. But you know, like it is nice that at least that they're like, okay, we know Ninja's not gonna be here. Let's push the viewers on to like maybe you can discover your new favorite streamer. Like that's exactly. That idea in of itself was great because now there's like some there's clearly a void that needs to be filled of like who's the top, you know, Fortnite streamer, and there's opportunities for like, okay, well now I'm gonna go find whoever's left on Twitch and kind of go through each one and like, oh, I like this guy, he's really cool, really nice, or whatever.
I think that the idea of it is fine, but it would have to be that that's what they do with every streamer that leaves Twitch. Every streamer that leaves Twitch, if you go to their channel, the channel doesn't exist anymore. Instead,
how do you know that?
I would actually be fine though. Like if you took an empty channel and it just redirects you to the browse page, like that's fine.
That's fine.
But to act
but
like
do it to everybody,
like
don't
Joe
do it to
Schmo
one.
Affiliate with 72 followers is the same as Ninja. Like that doesn't matter. Anyway, do we have anything else we can talk about? I hate this. Yeah, I never want to talk about Ninja ever again.
Well, you are our news guru. So what do we else? What else do we got in the news?
Let me open my phone, which is totally not ready.
While you're doing that, people in chat are a little divided, but we got Short Nerdy Man, our guy Jay, who we ran into at a Starbucks like a couple weeks ago. We love this guy. He says, yo, Emma's right about Ninja.
Thank you.
So you got some people out there.
And
improving
with points.
I am. Thank you. That's what I'm here for. Anyway, so we were talking about this before, but it makes me happy, so we're going to continue to talk about it. Well, it makes me sad, but there was some concept art for a canceled Arkham game that got leaked today on 4chan, so ooh. Fucking take that as you may. But the guy had receipts. He posted images that had never been seen before. Like, these have never been anywhere. So you're like, okay, he has access to something. But basically posted a bunch of concept art and talked about a game that was going to be made by WB Montreal, who did Origins, which was the so-so one. Mm. So maybe it would have been okay, maybe it wouldn't have been. But basically, it would have been super old Bruce Wayne, a sequel to Arkham Knight, many years in the future. Damian Wayne is Batman.
Ooh, okay.
Which I would have been so for.
Dang. Yeah, I pulled up the art myself. This is incredible.
It looks so good, right? That Ivy.
Yeah.
That Ivy concept art is, oh my God, I want it. I want everything about it. So yeah, you got like this really rundown Gotham. The Rogues Gallery is still there, but it's changed obviously because Black Mask, I can't even say that. Black Mask died in Arkham Knight, mm-hmm. but now there's a woman who is Black Mask. Poison Ivy died in Arkham Knight, I believe,
yep.
but now there's another Poison Ivy, who some of the people in the comments pointed out looks a little bit like a Dula Dent, which would have been an interesting
Yeah, and way it's to like it. They did like a cool like hobo-fied version of her, where she looks a little run down and she's wearing like
she looks like Eva Green.
Yeah, there we go. I can see that. Yeah, this stuff's leaked all over Twitter. All you have to do is Google search, like, leaked Batman.
And I'm so into this. Gorilla Grodd was going to be in it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. And it's one of those that, like, it makes me so happy to see all these things, and then you just remember that it got canceled, and it's never going to see the light of day.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's that Star Wars game.
There's games out there like 13, that, yeah.
13?
Yeah.
That was are there any other Heartbreaker games you guys could think of that will never see the light of day?
A lot of Star Wars ones. Like, there was the Darth Maul one that was complete, but then they canned it.
You know
what do you do with a complete game? Like, why?
It was in Game Informer.
Why?
You know there's a guy with it on a hard drive who plays it.
There's been nonstop rumor about, like, Skate 4 being a thing.
Oh, my
God. And, like,
God.
It was, like, going to be a thing that I canceled, and then, like, they completely dissolved the entire team that was making it. Like, that was...
There's a game that I'll bring up again every time this topic comes up, but it was so incredible. You can find it on YouTube. It was an Avengers first-person game.
I knew that's where you're going.
Interesting.
It was like in 2015, the footage leaked. It didn't go through, but it was basically Overwatch. But it was like Avengers. Like, if you were Hulk, you just had these two big honking fists, and you had different abilities than if you were Iron Man soaring through, and he has a whole different interface and abilities. And it was supposed to be like a cooperative, four-player, beat-em-up, first-person game. It looks so good.
Probably would have been.
Huh?
The original Prey sequel.
Yeah.
That would have been one that's on my list of canceled games.
It probably would have been better than the new Avengers we're getting now.
Probably.
I'm worried, but hopeful.
The new one looks awful.
Yeah.
The thing that bugs me about the new one is it's made by Eidos Montreal and Crystal Dynamics, and they made Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which was the worst of the new Tomb Raider games.
I think it just seems like it lacks, like, personality, which is the thing that gets me. Is like it feels like there's no passion behind it. Doesn't feel like it's just like, okay, well, Avengers is big, we gotta make an Avengers game.
And
they also didn't even get the same voice. Like, I appreciate that they got new voice actors. Like, I'm like, it's great to give new voice actors and actresses like a shot to like be Iron Man. Like, that's cool. But at the same point, you also gotta understand that, like, people are expecting, if they see the Avengers, they want to hear
that. Might just be a funding thing, though. That, like, can you imagine how fucking expensive it would be to get the entire
cast? That would be
the
most expensive game to make, probably.
But
ever.
Make them look better. Yeah. Not the Walmart knockoff version.
That's
of the
where
Avengers.
I'm at. Yeah. I think they look like Thor's beard physics are, I'm sorry, way inaccurate.
Wait, but the cape physics in Arkham Knight is way better than
apply that to
beard.
Thor's beard.
Boom. Yeah. Copy paste.
That's
done.
Easy. Yeah, 100%. Why don't we just become game developers?
We just became devs. Just now. Copy paste. Done.
Yeah, do you guys want to? We'll make if you want to make a game, we'll make your game for you. If you want to just take the lead on it.
Corey and I just like looked at each other over the monitors.
This is the moment we've been waiting for.
Emma fades into a bush.
Nope. I guess they did get all the kind of the normal voice actors, like your Troy Bakers and your
Nolan North,
and yeah.
That's it. They voiced the entire thing.
They voiced everybody.
Who was it? They were presenting at the Game Awards once, and they came out on stage, and their like little banter was like they were saying people always ask us, you know, how you get into voice acting. We always tell them the same thing. You have to wait for one of us to die.
Yeah,
because there's only 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
That and British actors. There's only 10 of them.
Yeah.
What else we got in the news?
On happier notes, the Sega Genesis Mini is looking like it's going to be really good.
Sega Genesis? I thought we already had one of these.
No, it never came. Like, we've talked about it. It was announced, but it hasn't come out yet. And it looks like it's going to be so good. I haven't really cared so much about all of these. Like, they've been kind of cute.
Is
I kind of wanted
Nintendo
the PlayStation
one.
Nintendo did the NES and then the SNES. PlayStation did their classic.
Oh, that's
but it
what
wasn't
I was thinking.
Great.
Oh. I knew one that wasn't Nintendo made one. I forgot.
She's compromised. The second game, Echo the Dolphin. That's all I think she cares about.
I'm all about Echo the Dolphin. So what else do we get in this?
So the thing with this one is, like, it looks like it takes all of the best parts of the other minis and kind of just builds on them and takes the things that didn't work so well in the other ones and fixes those. So, like, it's kind of seeming like they took a lot of the criticisms from the other ones. Like, they're coming into this late, but they're doing it in a good way.
So what were the big criticisms?
So one of the ones, especially with the PlayStation, was there was no real like quality of life improvements. As far as like, it was just a straight copy of a PlayStation. And you're like, well, yeah, but put some extra stuff. So, because we're used to, you know, 20 years of updates that have come into this. So like the Sega Genesis Mini has updates for like going back to the home screen, which obviously wasn't a thing at the time. So you don't have to reset the whole console to restart something.
Yeah.
You can browse your library visually and like it actually looks like a library, like you're browsing through book spines and things.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So there's some good quality of life updates in there. It has the different, you know, you can play in 16:9, you can play in 4:3, or you can put a filter on it so it looks like you're playing on a CRT.
That's cool.
Like, that's all I want.
Okay. So this
And then
is
it has
cool.
like double the games of all the other ones. It has 42 games on it.
So maybe you guys know the specifics of this because I don't. I remember years ago, it had to at least have been 10 years ago, being at like a Walgreens, and they would make off-brand like Sega remakes that were just had all the games preloaded. They were basically ROM players. Were those not officially licensed, or how were those existing?
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not legally licensed.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, like, it's on Sony or on Sega or on whoever to catch it.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you just
And, like, if you do
anything.
One run of it, too, you sell one line of consoles and then you're just done. You shut down the shop and move on to the next thing. You can't really, exactly. They can't really, hey, you gotta stop, like, we already did.
Yeah.
Soldier Boy tried it, and it did not work out too well.
I wonder how that's going for him.
Yeah, as good as his esports team is gonna be.
Oh. He's gonna sign Ninja, apparently. Looking at the games they have on here, they have some bangers. Echo the Dolphin is, like, the first one. I don't know why that's top build. I love it and everything.
Because
but
it's so big!
It's not bad.
That is a big game, and
the
you're all bad people.
I want the soundtrack is my jam. Oh.
I never played Echo the Dolphin. I have it. Sega
well,
Genesis,
now's your
but
chance.
I never played it.
Do
now's
yourself
your
a favor, man. It's
Straight,
amazing.
Streets of Rage 2 is on it.
Streets of Rage. Any Streets of Rage is good. Toe Jam and Earl is in there. They have all the classics you would want from your Sonics, of course. What else we got here? Golden Axe, Ghouls and Ghosts,
Earthworm Jim,
Fantasy Star.
See, I played all these.
Yeah, these are. This is. They're coming.
And it's $80, which I think is comparable to what the Nintendo ones were, and then the PlayStation one was $100.
PlayStation was $100.
Yeah.
Because the NES was $50.
Yeah. I mean, Sony was charging $99 for their PlayStation Classic.
You can do the other route to this is what the Nintendo Switch is apparently doing because, you know, the people who go and track all the patents to find out what gaming companies are doing just saw basically that Nintendo patented a wireless version of the Super Nintendo controller. So if you guys remember that classic
Which one
controller.
Was that one?
It was basically
one?
This one.
Oh, okay. I was like, as long as it wasn't the hideous one with, like, the third leg.
Oh, no. That's the...
The worst 64? Controller in the world.
Have you seen the
N64? The alien controller?
Yeah. There's a funny thing. It was a TikTok, I think, of someone saying the proper way to hold an N64 controller. And you hold it the classic way, and then a third hand comes and grabs
it. That's the one, like, when people try to give me shit on how the Duke is, like, the worst controller ever made, and I think it's the best, I'm just like... Look at this shit.
Yeah.
Look at this shit and tell me it's not worse than the Duke.
You know when you see classic telephone operators, you know when they got the wall of pegs and they're doing that's how you use an N64 controller. You had to use it, then you'd move over here to do stuff. You'd come back to this section, work in the middle.
A lot of people didn't realize that there were mounting brackets that came with the N64 controller. You're supposed to mount it on the wall. So
and then you it's
pull
a two-hand.
The levers.
Horrible. Absolutely horrible.
The
best video game controller. What do you think?
I saw. Go ahead.
Mouse and keyboard.
Wow.
You.
Yeah.
You're dead to me. You are
no,
dead.
No, real
Damn.
Talk though. So I've been an Xbox kid my whole life. I got an original Xbox, and my mom and I played through the original Halo campaign. So I love me the original Xbox and the 360. But like the Xbox One controller just feels so nice.
Good.
Because you go from the 360, like, it fits in your... It's not, like, ergonomic, but the Xbox One is, like, hyper-ergonomic, and the triggers are, like, super smooth.
They went so far into detail on the Xbox One controller. I remember reading a fucking article about, you know, the screw holes in the back of a 360 controller. I never thought of them when I played on the 360, because who thinks of that? But
you feel them.
I guess you can. The second time I played it after having Xbox One, I went back and noticed it. But they were like, yeah, we changed the entire thing so you don't even feel the screw holes. So you get full comfort out of that.
It's amazing how in-depth you can get when you've got literally billions of dollars just for R&D. It probably makes some pretty cool stuff with
that. Bill Gates himself wrote the check for that controller.
Exactly.
Yeah, I saw a lot of chatter on Twitter about how excited they are for this thing and how it means they're bringing back the Super Nintendo games. But like a lot of people don't know the 8-bit dough. These guys are making solid stuff. They have the same basic thing for the classic NES controller. And the one that I saw that Nintendo's going to come with doesn't have like the two top triggers and the thumbsticks. This thing was like less than $50. I know.
Hyperkin does the same thing.
Hyperkin does.
Because they did the Duke controller that you guys got me for my birthday last year.
And they did.
Thank you very much.
They did a cool thing too where they made the middle screen LED.
Oh, so that's my favorite part. I just hit the button all the time. Yeah. They did the original Duke controller, but the screen that was just like the Xbox logo, mm-hmm. if you press it, it's the home button and it does the animation for turning on an Xbox. And it does the noise too.
I think you're a little obsessed with the Duke controller.
It's really good.
It's really too
good.
Bulky.
You know what is though? I feel like I have it on a pedestal because as a kid I couldn't use it because my hands were too small. So I had like the shitty Mad Cats like mini one, and now as an adult best.
I had so many hours of Halo on the Duke controller. But then when the new one came out, because they made the smaller version of course, mm-hmm. and people would bring that over, and just because they moved the white and black buttons where my grenades were, I was like, this fucking shit sucks.
Oh yeah.
It's like, I just need my grenades. I know where they're at, you know, like
you're just nonstop. Like, every time you get killed in a deathmatch, you're like, it's because I didn't know where my nades were, dude.
Exactly.
Come on.
And that's how you do Halo. You use that nade to soften them up.
I was
and
then gonna hit him with the Kobe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I use a scuff controller, so I can't really.
Dude, scuff. Okay. Yeah. Scuff's really good. You know, another controller is really good though too. Have you guys gotten to try the? Oh man, the Astro controller.
Yeah, I was gonna say the Astros.
I got to pick that one up at Evo for the first time. Nice heft to it. Yeah. Like it felt super solid. I want to try that one.
I have a friend that works for Astro, and when we're talking about controllers and stuff, and she's like, "Yeah, Scuff does some, but they're shit compared to ours. Ours are great." she's like, "I'm not worried about it."
Yeah, controllers are important, man. For certain games, you just kind of do need a controller, but.
You know what I want to see though with these new where they're like re-releasing old games is I saw the video yesterday of they took ray tracing from like the RTX graphics cards and threw it in Quake 2.
That's awesome.
And like just like it's just they didn't need to retexture anything. Mm-hmm. It's literally just changing the light and graphics rendering, and it like looks weirdly realistic. Like I would love to be able to just do that where you're just like, here's just, if you want to throw it on. Like they had that with the Halo
Anniversary.
You're like, do you want old school version or new school version? I'm like,
and it's seamless.
And it did. Pork they only stills. Did it in the first one. Yeah. Like they had it in the second one, but you couldn't do it on demand. You had to pick in the beginning of the game. And I was like, why did you take this feature out? It was so fucking
that
cool.
That would be so sick to just see, like, okay, well, what would this game look like if we just like upgraded the rendering? And now it's like it's still the same game, it's still the same textures, still the same, but like maybe stuff is easier to see, or like you can kind of switch back and forth, like. I think it's just like a
That was the funniest part of switching back and forth is realizing how dark everything was in the early 2000s. Because if we put it in shadows, nobody will know. Nobody will be able to tell.
Thinking like, oh my god, the graphics were so good. I remember like that first Halo, like it looks really good. And you're like, look at it, like, wow, okay. We have made some progress.
That's just a square. Yeah. That's supposed to be a bush.
Yeah.
I swear to god, ever since I was like 8, every time my mom walked in a room and I was playing a basketball game, she'd be like, oh, I thought you were watching a real game. And this is like on the GameCube. Yeah, I'm like, Mom, you're crazy. But now
his hand is just a circle.
Exactly.
His head's not even connected to his body, Mom.
But they're showing stuff from 2K20 and it's scary.
Like, yeah, it is. The sweat dripping.
Yeah, that's like the new physic. They're like, we got sweat drop mechanics now. And you guy can slip in a pool.
You got to control the guy to scrub it up.
There's a in Shadow of the Tomb Raider, there's a bunch of different like costume changes that you can do, and one of the ones you can unlock is the original like 90s Lara Croft with the polygons. And so you have polygon
boots?
Lara in the middle of this 2019 perfect world all around her, and that's it's so jarring.
Well, it's like in Spider-Man when you
the comic book PS4, skin.
You choose the comic book skin and it makes everything else look like you're watching TV. It's so weird.
Yeah, Mario did that too with Odyssey. Or the most recent one. Is that Odyssey? Yeah, it's Odyssey.
Yeah.
On the Switch. You could put on the N64 skin.
Oh,
like little polygon dude. I love that one. Another thing I wanted to talk about in the news is 222 is officially live along with Sigma,
right,
for everybody. So if you play on console,
so
if you're playing
into Overwatch for the first time in 6 months and then not touch it again for 6 months.
Well, I mean,
that's how it always goes.
So what I learned from this is that I thought 222 is going to fix everything. I was like, oh, my life.
Never.
I'm going to win every single
match. It is
match
not going
now.
To fix the shit people.
No, it doesn't fix the shit people, and it doesn't make your teammates any better.
It does not.
Found. Have you gotten a chance to play with this yet, Kyle?
Yeah, dude. For those of you who do not know, I'm like huge into Overwatch. I've watched like every Overwatch League game. I even do a podcast on contenders and stuff. And so like I'm deep in the competitive stuff. And so I played the heck out of PTR when they had that out. I think it's fantastic. I think it's the best thing to come to the game since like the original when they
made it where you can't
do
no limits.
I think that was great. Yeah. I think specifically for just solo queuing and hopping into quick play and stuff, it just raises the baseline for like the worst kind of comp you're going to get. Because there were times I'm like, I'm either going to solo tank or I'm going to solo heal.
I solo heal constantly and it sucks.
It's just like you're going to have 5 DPS. Like, what are you going to do? But now you at least have a nice baseline of like moderate competency. Like, obviously, you're going to have crap players. Like, you have DPS that just, why are you behind the, oh, you're dead. Okay. Like, you have that, but like, at least you have like more of a chance.
I think it's going to be growing pains because you're going to have a different SR rating for each of your positions.
That's so cool.
So, right now, a plat player who's like solo heals and there's probably like a silver DPS is still going to be like rated up in high gold plat and going to have to fall quite a bit. So I think once everybody settles into their roles after a few months, hopefully, the quality will get even better. But I agree, even though I'm still having some rough matches, for the most part, you can't complain about the comps.
And like, it's going to take a long time for those to kind of, because like they have to take and make a new SR for everything. And they like, there's a lot of adjusting. Like I know some people are getting like plus 200 SR on a win or like losing 20, you know, or 200 each. And so just, it's going to take a while to sell. That's why they're doing like the nice little like fake comp for the next like month. And then in September, it's going to be like the actual one. So they can kind of let it.
Oh, so how long is this beta supposed to go on? Because right now, you're right, it's not like an actual competitive season right now. It's just like a beta process.
I think it's 2 weeks is what they mentioned. It's either September 1st or 7th or 14th. So it's either between 2 weeks and a month, I think.
And they just toss Sigma in there. Typically, there's like a period where you can only play with him in quick play, but he's available right now in competitive. So I haven't played a single match that didn't have a Sigma.
Frustrating. To
go against, what do you notice?
No, to play with, because you can just move his shield. And you're like, I'm hiding behind the shield. Oh, dude, you move the shield. Like, I'm dead now. Like, the Widowmaker's just, like, got me lined up or whatever. And so I think the other, someone brought up, too, is, like, they balance a lot of heroes. It's just making balancing a lot easier to do as well, which is cool. Because it's, like, it's way easier to balance when you have a number of, like, things in your control.
Yeah.
Like, I found that with my own game. It's, like, once you limit the amount of stuff, it becomes easier to balance things. Like, if you have twice as many, it becomes more difficult. And so
What's your take on you said you do a podcast about contenders and Overwatch League. What do you think of the status of Overwatch League in Season 2 compared to Season 1?
Season 2 compared to Season 1, I think it's great. I think it's better. I think throwing 222 out right at the start of the fourth stage was a bit weird, and it now makes like, you got great storylines with like Washington Justice like being really, really good now. But
are they really, really good now?
Oh, they're incredible.
Who did they beat?
They beat
at their schedule.
They beat the Titans, I think.
This is just gonna happen.
They beat
everybody can beat the Titans now.
Titans are still pretty good.
Hey,
though.
Remember the Titans?
No.
There's actually.
I refuse to remember.
Remember
the Titans.
Remember the podcast?
No, I don't.
I want to look at their schedule.
They're good. Not even just like because of who they are beating, but because of the way that they're doing it. No, they 4-0'd the Titans.
Overwatch game day.
Are you looking this right now?
Yeah. No, I remember offhand they 4-0'd them in a like pretty. Maybe it wasn't a 4-0. It was a 3-1.
We're having this guy on the show all the time because we're just
getting. No, he's never allowed back.
To answer your question, no, Fusion is awful. They were always just middling. You have like, but like it just screws up like the whole equilibrium.
Somebody throw out a topic. Anybody
of stuff.
No, this is important.
But Corey, you should know that your team is still doing great, no matter what.
Well, my team's
still
the best.
Because you guys bought the best coach and the best players, and
that's why I'm always looking for an excuse to talk.
Words.
Yeah. Wait, what? He complimented. He said we had the best.
Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah, it's a great org that has lots of money to do stuff.
That's true.
Anyway, what's up, guys? Let's check it over here. How you doing?
What else do we have in the news?
Fucking Loot Crate filed for bankruptcy.
Oh my god,
let's put a
shocker.
Downer on this. Yep. Let's put a who raise your hand if you're surprised. Nobody fucking raised their hand.
Well,
Loot Crate filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
What's Chapter 11 mean?
Chapter 11 is a reorganizational bankruptcy. So basically, they have to meet in bankruptcy court and provide all of their assets, all of their debts, their income, and their expenses. The court comes up with a payment plan, and then they present that payment plan to their debtors. And if the people they owe money to agree to it, then they can continue to run their business as usual. Nothing changes except, like, as far, like, they don't have to shut down. And if they say no, then they go into Chapter 7, which is liquidation. They start selling everything off. Mm. Okay. So they're in Chapter 11, which is not terrible.
Nothing's on fire, but there is some embers.
Yes. Yeah. So basically, Loot Crate will continue to exist through Chapter 11 bankruptcy. They're trying to pay off their debts. They're like $20 million behind on just shipping things out. That's not even stuff that they owe to anybody else. They're just shipping things out. They're months behind on their boxes.
Yeah. There's a guy, Germanic Ogre, who hangs out in our chat, and he was at our trivia night this last week when we kind of started talking about it. He was like, yeah, dude. It's kind of weird because they're still pulling money, but I haven't had a box in like 3 months.
Yep.
Oh, dude, I canceled that.
Loot Crate isn't even seeing that money.
Oh, really?
It's whatever you know, corporation or company that they use to process their payments is holding it back from them because Loot Crate owes them so much money. They're like, we're not even giving this to you. You get none of this, which is why they then cannot ship out the boxes because they're not getting paid. It's a whole thing. It's a fucking mess.
Did you ever have a subscription to this, Emma?
No, I did not.
You stayed
away?
I got away?
Free Loot Crate stuff, but I never had a subscription.
They were the craze. I remember we were talking about before the show, years and years ago, David was the first one I ever saw have a box of any kind.
A box of anything, yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's a cool concept. I could see that going pretty well. Then all of a sudden, everybody had a box. And then Loot Crate came out, and then Loot Crate had...
there was Loot Crate box.
Level
was
Up box.
Level
we were
Up
getting
was the gaming
ups.
One.
Yeah.
There was the anime box. There was a tabletop box. Like, they had, like, all these different subgenres. There was the Loot Crate XL, which was, like... a bit of everything in one bigger box.
They were surprise mechanics.
Yes. And everybody it was a real life loot box.
It was.
And everybody went crazy. Just as disappointed every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just as much of a waste of money.
So is that why we think no one is into them anymore? They just run their course? Like how many?
Yeah, I think the fad passed.
I canceled because I just had too much shit already.
I had a lot of people that I knew that were like, I don't want any more socks. I don't want socks. Stop sending me socks. I'm not doing this.
Is when they sent me a pop vinyl for like Captain Caveman or something. I was like, all right, now, this is a stretch. Like... I don't know.
It was usually like one good thing and then like a bunch of shitty things. The shittiest part of this is I guess there was like a Fallout sort of box set that people could get. It was like a set of 6 or 7 or 8 boxes. And each box had like a piece of something that you would build along with the rest of the box.
Oh,
and
okay.
They're like, you might get to the end of this and not have a head if Loot Crate goes under. Jeez. In all of this.
Yeah.
And people prepaid like $230, I think, for the whole set. They also laid off a shit ton of people. So I think in line with their announcement, there were like another 50 layoffs, and then last week they closed their warehouse and laid off 150 people.
Jeez.
So they're down to like 40 full-time employees, 40 or 50 full-time employees now. They're not doing great.
Dang. You know what I'm really hoping from the bottom of my heart is that at least when it blew up, the whoever created it sold it to someone and just...
That's what they're trying to do now. They're trying to sell the company now.
Oh, it's too late.
They want somebody to buy them so they can have some cash on hand.
GameStop.
No, I want to imagine some Silicon Valley kid made this a shitload of money and he's off to his next venture.
I don't
and
know.
Maybe whoever ran it now just kind of bought it thinking, I don't know.
It'll run itself.
How hard can it be?
And now he's laying people off
company.
With no benefits or severance.
Yeah, time to sell your stock in that company. Do we have anything else in the news?
There's a couple things. Discord is launching a sort of streaming service tomorrow.
I like the idea.
What is it?
So the idea of it is that it's not like a competitor to Twitch or Mixer because it's not supposed to be like a big, like everybody can come and watch your channel. So it's within voice channels in a server on Discord. You can start streaming a game. No webcam support or anything. It's just voice and whatever game you're playing. And up to 10 people can watch. So it's supposed to be... The idea is generally that you're sitting in a living room, you're playing a game, and all your friends are hanging out with you. That's sort of the what it's supposed to be.
Well, they're trying to be like a powerhouse because they also have Nitro.
Yeah. Game store as well that they have.
And you get better Nitro. You get better connection. There's better latency if you have Nitro.
Yeah.
Are their cuts as reasonable as like Epic, or are they steaming it?
Oh, for the Discord store? I have no idea.
You guys their games are hit and miss right now. I think they
have the same amount of money that Epic does. Because, I mean, like, if you think about it, you just download Discord for free. There's no ads anywhere.
Right.
The only way that they make money, I remember seeing something about this. Like, they went through and got evaluated by all those, what are they called? VC groups or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they got evaluated for, like, a dumb amount of money, but they, like, are worth, like, so little despite having such, like, a gold mine of users, but they're like not. They have. They're making.
They don't
like,
use advertising.
They're just like, hey, if you want to support us, that's cool too. Like
that is kind
of. So like, they don't have a lot of money. They don't have Epic money. Literally,
no, I mean, they have a badass platform. Office yeah. in their the Bay Area, and they have giant parties once
so
a month.
So what do they make all their money from? Nitro?
I don't know.
Maybe it's venture.
Where does it come from?
Maybe it is VC money. Maybe they're just burning.
Entertainment 720.
Right, but what are they? Like, a VC is somebody like investing in your company. What is that investor getting back?
I don't know.
Maybe
nothing. And then next
is it the mob? Is Discord funded by the mob? Is this a money laundering
operation?
Maybe
they're selling all of our info.
That's honestly probably. At this point, you have to assume.
Yeah, they recorded all.
Yeah,
you have to assume.
Conversations.
Yeah.
Just when you thought one thing was safe.
Hopefully, they're not the next ones filing for Chapter 11.
Secretly, they're NSA.
No, they're so cool.
Yeah, they're sick. I think that's it. That's the show. Thanks everybody for hanging out. Thank you, Alex. Not Alex. What am I thinking here? Wow. Aaron and Kyle for hanging out with us. I don't know why I have Alex Bags on my mind. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. Tell us where they could find more information and get some tickets for this event you got coming up in September.
So you can go to our Facebook page, SAC Dev Collective. I'll have links to the website, or you can go to the website, capitalcreativeshowcase.com. You can buy a ticket there. You can find more info, see who is going to be there, developers, artists, and speakers. If you want more info, you can go to our Facebook and reach out to us through a message. We tend to get back to you pretty quickly.
And there's pre-sale right now, so people could buy tickets as we speak.
Yes.
Yes.
And they're not even that expensive. What was the
price? I think they're $15 right now.
$15. That's a steal if you want to get in there, hang out, and you get to play a bunch of games, meet a lot of cool people. Their panel room is incredible. It's one of the favorite places I know we've ever spoken in that Black Box Theater upstairs.
Love that room.
Super intimate. You can get all the knowledge. You know, that's, you know, you ask questions. People are really authentic. And when you go to these grassroots events, it's different. It's not like the people are looking down on you sometimes. You can feel when you go see like a big intimidating developer who hears this question all the time. These people want your questions and they want to help you. And you can get involved right there on the spot. In a lot of cases, you go up to the right table with the right skill set, you might be leaving with, you know, a new team of friends and a new gig. So
yeah, especially because I know a lot of us are going to, like, throw out, like, betas. Like, we're going to be looking for, as soon as we get multiplayer up and running, we're going to, like, find people like, hey, who wants to get a free copy of the game? Help us test the stuff. Help us balance stuff. Like, there's a lot of opportunities to get in on early access stuff, get early copies of games.
And your feedback can directly impact sometimes like the stuff that's going to happen in the games too. So it's a really cool opportunity. We love supporting local here on the show. And then your guys' personal projects. Where can people... I want to play the zombie game.
So currently, I went through some mishap with the guy who hosts our website.
Yeah,
the website's down right now.
Oh no!
So Twitter. Will. What?
Just Twitter. Twitter. Yeah, at least Twitter.
I will have to get back to you guys when that's back up and you can download the demo because it was on there.
This game was available.
The demo.
Yeah, the demo.
What? This sounds so amazing. How did I not know about this?
I don't know.
You didn't ask the right questions.
We're playing this game. We're playing this game as soon as that website comes back up.
Oh, well, I can shoot you over a copy.
Oh. Bet for streaming that. What about you, Kyle? What's going on? Where can people play your game?
You can find Evocus at playevocus, EVOCUS, on, I think that we got the website, we got Twitter, we got Facebook, Instagram. We're posting screenshots and cool stuff all the time. And definitely just come check us out at the Capital Creative Showcase. We'll be showing stuff off. Got a mailing list so you can get in on the online betas and stuff.
And then we're going to be, so as part of the promotion for this event too, you guys are going to send a couple more awesome game developers our way for the weekend shows. So this next Saturday coming right up, tell us about the guy we have. We have Zach Wynn, right?
Yeah, Zach Wynn is a developer. I actually haven't looked into the project he's working on. He's an artist in our community, and he's working on a new game. Do you know?
I don't.
Have you not seen it?
No.
I think it's part
there's
of
a
the...
lot. There's okay. There's a lot of games.
There's a
released.
Lot.
It's there's a lot.
Yeah,
but this guy's been around the block.
Yeah,
like, this is an experienced game developer. All right, I'm excited. And then the week after that one, we have, or we'll still hammer out the details. We won't go too far into that one. But just keep it locked on Video Game Bang on these weekend shows. David Webb, are you going to return to streaming, man? When are you going to make your Mixer announcement?
Not anytime soon. I'm too busy climbing trees and kayaking.
Well, sounds like a dream. what about you, Emma Skies? What you been playing? And where can people watch you?
God.
It's Wednesday. You have no excuse for not having a streaming schedule.
No, I don't have a streaming schedule because I don't have a schedule. I have nothing. I have no days. I start Silicon Valley tomorrow. I will be home in the next 3 weeks. I think I'm home for 5 days. And I'll be streaming all five of those days, but that's it.
And then what can you tell us about Silicon Valley Comic Con?
Silicon Valley Comic Con is this weekend in San Jose at the San Jose Convention Center. I believe you can still get tickets if you would like. I will be working the Subnation Cospitality booth.
Ooh.
So if you're cosplaying and need to fix your makeup or fix your costume, come to me. I'll fix it. Have a good weekend if you're there. But yeah, that's I think over the next 3 weeks I have 5 days to stream, so keep an eye on that.
They have they're gonna be doing a podcasting like booth or something.
Podcast Palooza. There's gonna be a crap ton of podcasts at Subnation's booth.
Okay. And we'll be there on Sunday in some capacity.
At an indetermined, to be determined time.
Keep an eye on our social media channels. We'll be there handing out some stickers. Also, our sponsors, we got to give them some love real quick. Our main one, Oblivion Comics and Coffee. I was there today. Just so nice to get out of your space and work sometimes. If you have the pleasure of, you know, working from home or in an office that has a little bit of leeway, you can go to Oblivion and set up a table, you know, good Wi-Fi, get some work done, eat some amazing toast, and you can get the Bang drink. What is it? The Bang?
The VGB Sunrise.
The VGB Sunrise. And for a limited time only, if you go in and order the VGB Sunrise, you can get
one
of our VGB stickers here. We just ordered some. We're going to be handing these out this weekend at Silicon Valley, and you can get them in limited supply at Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Thank you to them. Also, our sponsors are Vast GG and Energy Esports. So that's it. That's the show. We'll talk to you this weekend. For Emma Skies, David Webb, Aaron Kyle, my name is Corey Sang. You've just been banged.